Now, we were discussing on moving forward, and we've talked about a couple of things. We've talked about you and I forgetting the past, whether it's positive or negative, especially the negative past, forgetting things that people did to you and the things you did to people. Hallelujah. That is vital, because without those things, you will not be able to move forward. You have to allow the blood wash away your past. Let the blood be applied to the past. When Balaam was trying to curse Israel, the Lord said, I have blessed, no man can curse. He said, I find no fault in Israel. He said, I see no iniquity in her. He said, but Israel had a lot of things that they had done wrong. Why would God say that? Was God telling tales? No, God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. What was he talking about? The blood of bulls and the ashes of an heifer had cleansed them of sin. So he couldn't see anything. Hallelujah. That's how it is with the blood. Amen. So the blood washes away our past. We don't need to recall it. You don't need to be writing some books about some terrible things you did. We don't want to know. God does not want to know. Allow the blood of Jesus take care of those things. Amen. And then we talked about possessing your possessions. We said you have to seize the kingdom. You have to seize the word of God. The Bible says that from the days of John the Baptist, even until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence and the violent take it by force. So we take the word of God. We go into the word, we possess it. We make it ours because it belongs to us. The promises, all the promises of God are yea and in Christ, amen, to the glory of God. Amen. When we want to move forward in life, we said the first thing is to forget the past. The second thing is to possess your possession. Amen? Now, the third thing is to be in fellowship. I'm now dealing with some practical things you need to do. You need to be in church. Some people don't know that church has anything to do with what God is doing. It has everything to do with it. The Bible says that God said in his word that obedience is better than sacrifice, to hearken than the fat of cows. To be in church is greater than your tithes and your offerings. You need to be in church. God, our source of strength, is the Lord. But he said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Matthew chapter 18, verse 20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. God does not want the believer outside the sheepfold. When somebody gets outside the sheepfold, the Bible tells us what God will do. Let's read this from verse 10. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father, which is in heaven. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. How think ye? If a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doeth he not leave the 99 and go into the mountains and seek that which is gone astray? Now, what is the thing about this stray sheep? What did the sheep do? The sheep left the sheepfold and went his way. Hallelujah. Now, if you watch Animal Planet or any of these things about the safaris in Africa and all of that, you notice that the lions, when they come into a herd of buffaloes or whatever, they, or antelopes, or the gazelle, whatever that they come across and they want to hunt, what they do is to roar, scatter them, and anyone that goes off the head, they go after that one. Hallelujah. The Bible says that the devil goeth about as a roaring lion, looking for whom he may devour, whom resist, steadfast in your faith. So instead of being steadfast in faith, is being steadfast in our obedience to the word of God. Obedience to the instructions of God. Hallelujah. When we stay away from the instructions of the word of God, we stray away from what he told us to do, things can happen. Now remember that we have a collective enemy, the devil, the gates of hell. He said, I build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, most of the time when people are in the gathering of the saints, in the fellowship of the saints, they are kept safe. Most people, before things happen to them, they would have had to have gone out of the congregation of the saints because they're no longer being fed the word of God. They're no longer being strengthened. What is happening is that the enemy is telling them, first he exalts their own ideas above the word of God. God expects that the believer will be in church. Hallelujah. He goes after that single one to bring him back where? Into the sheepfold. How you know that you're in broken fellowship is that you no longer associate with the brethren. And we have to be together. In fact, there is no real perfection until the body of Christ, the whole of the body of Christ, come to the fullness of the stature of Christ. Let's read it. The book of Ephesians. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is also the same that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers for the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So the gifts are there to build the body for us to come to that place where we're mature in Christ. We're no longer children. The Bible says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together, compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, make an increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Hallelujah. So God gave these gifts in the body for the building up of the church, to teach us, hallelujah, the ways of God, the way to minister, the way to be sons of God, the way to live the life of God. And this is done in the gathering of the saints, because he does not want you separate from the body. The Bible says where the carcass is, there will the eagles gather. That's what Jesus said. He's talking about the gathering of the saints. So we have to be in the body. Glory be to God. The body heals itself. If you cut off your finger, will it survive alone? It cannot survive alone. God said, if the toe says, because it's not the ear, it is not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? So every part of the body is important. We need to gather together as believers. When we cry out to God, when we pray together, things happen. We exert power, authority. The synergy of two is enormous. It says a little one shall become a thousand. A small one, a strong nation. So, and it's not that we are doing it alone. No, we're gathered together as brethren. And God said to us in his word, he said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. Every sheep needs a shepherd. Now, let's read the scripture that I just mentioned before we go to the next place. It says, let us, verse 23 of Hebrews chapter 10, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. He said, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Praise the Lord. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 3. He said, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, verse 7, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, where your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore, I was grieved with that generation. And I said, they do always err in their heart. They have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath that they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily. We exhort one another. We talk to one another. When we have fellowship, glory be to God, we aid. This exhortation is to call one to correction, to aid one another, to help, to comfort, to encourage. Hallelujah. Amen. To besiege. To compel, if you like, by constantly talking to you about the things of God. We exhort one another daily. We see a brother, we call you. Say, why are you not in church? We haven't seen you in a while. What's going on? We check up one another. It's our duty to do that. The church watches over your soul as they that must give account. Exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. You see, one of the things that happen to people who have left the gathering of the saints is that they start edging into lawlessness. You can just shack up. Nobody corrects you. It's cool. She's my girlfriend. We've lived together for 14 years, that is lawlessness. It's not supposed to be in the head of concerning Christians. And you say, I'm not judging, I'm not trying to condemn or anything. I'm saying that it is wrong. When I have to deal with it because I'm a shepherd, I'm a pastor. You won't get any correction if you're by yourself. Bible says a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. You're just by yourself. You're concluding by yourself. You're thinking it by yourself. Nobody is asking questions. Nobody can tell you what you're doing is wrong. The psalmist said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. So affliction comes when we choose to go our own way. And we're talking about moving forward. He said, but now have I kept thy word. You can't say, oh, I'm walking with God. I have a personal relationship with God. And when was the last time you were in church? Six months ago. You know, because this thing doesn't happen immediately. People don't even notice when it's happening. You're not becoming rebellious. You're not beginning to have ideas contrary to the word of God. So those people have walked away from the Holy Ghost and started doing their own thing. Verse 20 says, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. He said, and of some have compassion, making a difference. Others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating the garment, even the garment spotted by the flesh. But you see, somebody hold an opinion contrary to the word of God, and we're humoring the person. So I'm a Christian. I do what I want. You don't do what you want. You belong to God. You do God's will. Jesus bought you from the slave market. You were a slave of the devil. God went, redeemed you, paid the price. Jesus brought us back and made us kings and priests. Glory be to Jesus. Amen. So be in the fellowship of the brethren. When God wants to instruct you, he will instruct you in the midst of the brethren. And so we have to continue in the midst of the brethren, because there is something that each and every one of us supplies. You know, sometimes something might be happening to somebody and God wakes up a sister and the person goes into intercession, begin to pray. You're praying in the spirit, you're praying in tongues. You don't know what you're praying about, but there's an urge to pray. There's a prayer burden and you're praying in tongues. You're praying in the spirit. After a while, it will lift. It may have to do with your relative, or it does not. It might be just a brother who's about to go through something. And God will save that situation. Hallelujah. Because you're in the midst of the brethren. Before something can happen to anyone, you must have walked away from the brethren. When it's a proper church, a place where there is prayer. The Apostle Peter, when he was arrested, first the Herod arrested James and slew him. And when he saw that it pleased the Jews, he laid his hands on Peter and brought him in. Then the brethren said, "You're joking." The Bible said that prayer was made ceaselessly of the brethren for Peter. And in the book of Jeremiah chapter 3, we read this every day when we're praying for the backslider and talking about the church and all of that. But it's good for us to read it now because it's so vital. It says in verse 4 of Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 14, rather not verse 4, it says, "Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I'm married unto you, and I will take you one of a city, two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion." And he says, "I will give you pastors, shepherds, according to mine heart, who shall feed you with knowledge and understanding." Hallelujah. Now, he said, when Jesus went about all the cities and villages, I'm reading Matthew chapter 9, verse 35, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness, every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they faded and they were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. When a sheep does not have a shepherd, what happens? They faint, they are scattered, they become sick, different things start happening. A shepherd that is called of God, people who know their assignment, who do not see the wolf coming and they run away. No, when they see the wolf coming, they take their shepherd's staff and whack him on the head. So you be scattered, you faint when you have no shepherd. And God made it such that the body needs the shepherd. God puts what you need in the shepherd. From day to day, he puts what you need in the shepherd. Glory be to God. Some people get the initial stages of maybe some of the things that God does for them. They just take off. They grab it just like the prodigal son. They grab all that belongs to them and they take off. Every sheep needs a shepherd. I didn't say that every sheep needs to be in this church. I didn't say so. Did I say so? Every sheep needs a shepherd. Hallelujah. Jesus is our universal shepherd, but he has set some in the body. The fivefold ministry gifts, they're there. And the pastors are vital because they tend the sheep. They go through the diaper stages with you. Some were cursing when they came to church. They're no longer cursing now. You come with negative things. You talk negative things all the time. You know, and all of that. After a while, the shepherd drives all that negativity out of you so that you're speaking the word of God. When situations come, you stand on the word. Hallelujah. Some feel inferior. They come to church. By the time they finish, you know, we've finished talking to you, you're ready to charge hell with a water pistol. Hallelujah. So it is needed. Glory be to God. That's why you're taught the ways of God. Glory be to Jesus. We're taught the ways of God. When we go to church, we're going there to go and learn the word of God, to learn the ways of God. Hallelujah. That we may know which way to go, because we have not been this way before. But you see, when people are sick and they go to the hospitals, they go to specialists, and specialists tell them what to do. But when it comes to church, everybody seems to have an opinion as to what the will of God is. He said, for the priest's lips shall keep knowledge, and they shall seek the law at his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. This is Malachi chapter 2, verse 7. God set the priests in the house, the pastors in the house, the fivefold ministry in the house, the various leaders in the house to teach you, to guide you in the ways of God. If you're not there, you cannot learn the word. If you're not sitting learning the word, if you're not committed to it, as the tree is committed to the ground, you will not learn.